26 past 8. Pubs, theatres, concert halls, arenas. If you're a musician, these are your stock standard venues for performance, right? But over a few nights, in an especially odd-shaped room in Darwin, a bunch of professional musos will gather to transform a once very practical space into a rich auditory experience. That's the Festival of Underground Music happening as part of the Darwin Festival. That music was from last year's shows, but I was joined today by two of the performers involved in the 2017 festival. Vocalist Deborah Kayser has toured internationally with a number of ensembles, performs everything from Byzantine chant to German Baroque, and percussionist Peter Neville, he's the head of percussion at the Melbourne Conservatorium of Music. He's toured with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra and performed in a heap of musicals like West Side Story and Cats. Now, I wanted to get a taste of the sound that would be performed in the tunnel and might just be being performed as we speak. So I had to ask if that music would translate, if it would work in a radio studio, not an oil tunnel.
Because this is a dry environment, we're giving our sounds to suit a dry space. So that kind of filigree and detail may not be translated so well in the tunnel. So we do allow space for events to happen and dissipate. And
you'll be hearing the same instruments, the same sort of textures, but it's always a matter when you're improvising in reacting to the space, and then the tunnel is a very special space. So we're listening carefully to what it's telling us.
So it's important for you when you're travelling around and performing. How much time do you take to get to know a space before a performance?
Well, you often have very little time to do it, but you just get used to reacting and knowing. I mean, you can do one clap in a space and hear how long the decay is and pretty well get the idea of how to react. The other thing is to see how your instrument or voice responds. Some spaces are more friendly to the low instruments, like the double bass we're working with tomorrow, some more friendly to voices, and some are way too friendly for percussion, for instance, so I have to learn when to back off. So you're constantly learning the space as an equal partner, actually, in the performance.
And sometimes it's where people might think the obvious place to perform is not necessarily going to bring the best acoustic when you match that particular instrument in that particular position. So the luxury is to have comfortable time to sound the space and really feel where the optimum thing is and then arrange your audience seating around that. Of course, once your audience come in, that changes the sound in the space yet again.
And they're going to soak up some of it and make their own?
That's very true.
Yes, we do want the audience to sound the tunnel as well, so that's especially for tonight, is that opportunity to come in and be agitators of the tunnel, or to create sound within the tunnel from themselves.
Co-collaborators.
That's the one, not agitators. Delighted co-collaborators.
A standard co-collaborators.
What do we need to know about what we're about to hear? What instruments have you brought in with you?
Okay, well, I'll do a little show and tell. We've got a couple of, I guess you call them stress balls. They're the little Chinese balls that look like oversized marbles, and inside them is some sort of jangly thing, and this is the sound they produce. Really magical. The other instrument...
Is jangly thing the technical term for what's in there?
It is now. This is the new technical term. I've never had an oxy acetylene torch to pull one apart and see what's in there. I have no idea how they make them. Fascinating sound, though.
It's lovely.
Very beautiful. And it spreads through the tunnel wonderfully. Even from a great distance, you can hear these tiny little points of sound very clearly. The other instruments I brought are more standard, Western orchestral instruments, I guess you'd say. They're called crotales or antique cymbals. And for the listeners, just to describe them, they're basically a bronze disc, but they're tuned to all the notes of the piano. So the lowest one I'm starting on is an F on the piano, if that means anything to anyone. And then I have various other notes of a scale. Out of order, is it? So they've got quite a long resonance and they sound absolutely amazing in the tunnel. As well as hitting them with a traditional stick like that, I can bow them with a double bass bow. A really long, magical, sustained sound. I can keep it just very even by keeping the bow moving. And then if I release the bow, I can shake it and get a sort of a vibrato effect that is really amplified in the tunnel.
What's fabulous about these sounds in the tunnel is because the resonance of the tunnel is just lasts for so many seconds, you start to hear these glorious sounds stacked up vertically, one on top of the other. So sound plays with itself in the mix of the tunnel, travelling both horizontally and vertically. It's quite magical.
And we're really lucky to be working with five wonderful percussion students from the Northern Territory School of Music, led by Greg Jansen, who's obviously an amazing teacher because they're fantastic, flexible musicians with great ears, and they've just jumped right in and been part of what we're doing straight away. And a lot of the music we're doing, is we'll give out the shape of an idea and then it's up to all the performers to improvise and create the piece on the fly, and they've been really wonderful at that. So at one point we've got all six of us percussionists with one of these crotales each and building up textures that one player couldn't possibly do by themselves, and that activates the tunnel in a completely different but really amazing way.
And then Deborah has brought her voice in. So let's see how it all works together, if you wouldn't mind. Do we need to know anything about what you're going to create, or are you making it up as it happens?
Well, we are improvising. We've got we had a very simple game plan with basically an introduction and then a development, and then we go out with some of the same sounds that we brought it into, add a bit of a unification at the end. But basically, we're winging it.
We're winging it.
On ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory, Peter Neville and Deborah Kayser.
Thank you.
Peter Neville and Deborah Kayser on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory with an incredible sound that will be perhaps all the more magical when it's performed in Tunnel Number 5. It's tonight and tomorrow night that you're performing. What's different about the performances?
Well, this evening we are primarily sounding the tunnel, so it's an opportunity for the audience to become instrument makers, if you like. They are responding to timbres inside the tunnel. We won't give the game away too much, but we will ask for their contribution. So if you've always wanted to get into a resonant space and see what it feels like and feel what it feels like to let fly, do come along this evening. And of course, we've got the assistance of these wonderful students as well to help sculpt those sounds. We've got a game plan. There are so many timbres we had to leave a few out just so that we could make sure the show wouldn't run on to midnight, because when you get into such a glorious, long-sounding space, you have to keep a keen eye on it. We could be under there forever. It is truly remarkable.
We spoke about getting to know each space before you perform as much as you can. Have you performed in the tunnel before?
No, this is my first time there.
No, yeah. We came in Sunday night after late after it had closed up and had a bit of an experiment, and then we've been at the last two nights' concerts to get a sense of how other performers are using the space.
Mm. How have you enjoyed that experience of being an audience member?
It's fantastic. It's sort of all enveloping in there. The sound just moves around. The performers are moving around to take advantage of different positions in the tunnel. So it's very theatrical as well as oral.
And it's very important, I think, as performers to be audience members, because you have to, you know, you have to remember what it's like to be able to relax and not be involved in a show. So you say, okay, it's not my responsibility to make this gig happen. You can relax as an audience member and have their experience too. And that informs what you do as a performer as well, because you're seeing both sides.
The tunnel's designed as a World War II oil storage space. For anyone who hasn't been there, can you describe the space?
It's like going into a very long cathedral, I suppose. It feels like a very sacred sort of space, and it's 172 metres long, the one we're in. And from wall to wall across the space, it's probably about 3-4 metres and about 4 to 5 metres high, but not square walls. It's shaped like an oval.
It's like a bit of an egg.
Yeah, a bit of an egg, a very, very, that's the vertical shape, and then elongated 172 metres, and just low lighting and the sound of water dripping. And there's on the floor, there are two water channels with water flowing down there. So it's very magical space.
And a magical sound that I think will really fit into that space. How does Tunnel Number 5 compare with other places that you've performed?
What I particularly love about this space is it focuses sound. Yes, you can have your sound travel up and down this incredibly long space, but the sound is also very focused and particular. So if you're singing in, say, Notre Dame in Paris, it's a massive, massive cathedral, and everyone aims for a cathedral sound to carry you to the heavens. You could be standing there, and the focus, it's like you sing and it sort of spins out from you 360 degrees. There's kind of no focus. It just turns into a huge wash around you, which is another really glorious, liberating feeling. But this one is wonderful when you're doing collaborative work, because you can really pick up what the other timbres and the sounds and the communication through sound is quite glorious and magical. Yeah,
which makes it much easier to work at a distance, because you can hear what your colleague 170 metres away is doing. It still sounds very, very clear and direct.
Is it challenging for percussion, though?
You have to pick your sounds. The thing is, you don't want to do too much all at once. Unless that's the effect. Unless you're aiming for sort of a build-up of wall of sound. At a certain point, when you build up the sound and create a great big wave like that, then the room will react and you get a certain hum, which is an interesting effect. But it's actually, to utilise the decay, it's much more interesting to do widely spaced sounds, and then the audience can hear the way that they're reacting with the hall. Tunnel. Keep saying hall.
Yeah.
It's better than a hall.
It's much better than a hall.
And tomorrow night you'll be joined by a couple of extra people, including Jason Garawiwi.
So we've got the co-director Anne Norman playing Shakuhachi, and Nick Chavos coming through from Melbourne playing double bass, the sort of artistic director, I guess, of various ensembles that both Pete and I have played with him for many, many years in. And Jason. And
we
yes,
heard him we perform last night, astonishing beautiful. Singer, beautiful musician, and we're really excited to have the chance to collaborate with him.
What is so special about Jason coming in is the idea that We will be performing works tomorrow night that come from an ancient Byzantine Christian tradition, so looking at Orthodox chant, whereas Jason will be singing from his tradition. So we're crossing the globe, and we're not intentionally bringing a clash of cultures. It's more that these things exist, and it is voice and tradition and culture that keeps the world spinning. But to have these two things coexisting at the same time within the tunnel, and where the idea being one event at one end and one event at the other, with the audience allowing those sounds to travel through and pass them to each other, this is an extremely poignant and important symbolic event that will happen tomorrow night too.
That sounds like it'll be very special. In terms of the improvisation of your music, you've obviously been working together for a very long time.
Well, I've been working with Nick, Deb and Anne for many, many years. Nick is one of my, he's probably my longest term collaborator. I started playing with Nick when I was something like 17, so well over 30 years now in all sorts of combinations, and then with Deb for many years in another ensemble as well, the Elysian Contemporary Music Ensemble. Deb and myself have been members of that for many years, and same with Anne, in all sorts of different contexts. So we know each other very well. We know each other's language, but, you know, surprises still happen. It's not predictable because these guys are so creative.
And I think it's also project by project, contexts allow you to develop you think you've got your baggage of known repertoire. When you come to a new space like this and have new people come and join you, especially people like Jason, then you are broadened and you are newly informed, and what you do is refreshed, and it goes back out to the people. So pieces are so site and time specific. It's always a wondrous opportunity to expand and learn.
I've spoken to jazz players who kind of work in that improvised space as well, and the next where there's sort of no who is there a leader when you're improvising, or is everybody feeding together? Is it really a team effort?
All of the above, just depending on the piece and the context. I mean, you can have totally free improvisation where you don't have any fixed starting points. Generally, with the music that we make with Nick's various ensembles, there's a one-page chart which has some basic information.
A little bit of an order.
Yeah, there's definitely an order.
An architecture.
A framework for it. And then we fill it in as we see fit and react to both the spaces and each other.
Does it ever not work?
It never gets below a certain level. I mean, I remember hearing an interview with the famous jazz banjo player Bela Fleck, and he said, look, we have great nights where everyone's on fire and it's going really amazingly. But he said, we also have bad nights where we don't feel so inspired or whatever, but it never gets below a certain point where the audience would still get something out of it. I thought that was a really healthy attitude to it.
Yeah. Do you discuss a theme or an emotion or something that everybody's on the same page?
Well, certainly Nick's ensemble, he's got very clear ideas about the aesthetic, and so we'll be rehearsing together and he'll sort of craft things in a way that works for his sketches and compositions.
That will be very much the case for tomorrow night and for this evening. The main theme, the focus, is sounding the tunnel. I mean, every body, individual person that goes in there is a sounding vessel, but sometimes they go through life and kind of forget, because we're often told as children, shush, no, we don't do that, dear. But this is, you know, we are a sounding, vibrating vessel. The tunnel is a sounding, vibrating vessel, especially once you put people in there to bring that. So that is your theme for tonight.
It's also an historical building, memorial, whatever, and we're well aware of all the history that goes with it and other aspects of the history of the city. So it's all there somewhere in the mix.
Well, we do have a recording to hear as well this evening. So what are we going to hear, and what kind of space was that created in?
Okay. Nick created this one. He calls it Shaman Dance 5, or sometimes we call it the Kyrie. It goes through various titles, but it's part of a larger work called Liminal, and the idea of crossing a threshold of something to a more informed space, if you like. It's a very contemplative piece. He's put a piece of Latin in there called Kyrie Eleison, well, to have mercy, Christ have mercy, but that's not the central theme. So it's about building up a pattern, allowing something to exist and to be meditated upon, and then the voice comes in, that sort of voice being the archetypal human element, I suppose, and trails out. It's in a very gentle sort of tempo, so it sort of develops. How long does it run for, Pete? It's minutes.
5 or 6 minutes, and it's sort of elements of minimalism in the terms of the part I'm playing on the steel drum. That's just a few simple notes, but rotating around.
but it is designed to be heard in a space where those gentle rhythms and textures and timbres sounds can be heard vertically as well as just in a... So it doesn't work so well in a dry space. Ensembles often spend a lot of time trying to add acoustic by plugging into various electronics and amplifiers and goodness knows what. None of that is required for the tunnel. Everything that is heard in the tunnel is acoustic, is made on the spot and not amplified or enhanced. So this is a work that... for the Shaman Dance 5, yeah, if you're in a dry space, you're going to want to wet it up because you ache to hear that extra sound. Yeah.
Well, I hope that you have a wonderful couple of performances and, well, fall in love with the tunnel. I think that's already happened.
It has already happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.